please, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 13, the book of Matthew chapter 13. This is our New Testament book that we've been studying through together, and we have come to chapter 13 in the book of Matthew. For time's sake, we'll pick up our reading in verse number 18. I'm preaching on the first parable that the Lord gave in these series of parables in this chapter, preaching from verse 1 down to verse number 23. The parallel passages are Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. You're in Matthew chapter 13, look at verse number 18. Jesus speaking says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase in verse number 18, the phrase, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we help you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for helping us today to be all that you'd have us to be. We thank you that we hold a copy of the precious Word of God in our hands today. Help us to be faithful to your Word. Help us not to add to it, take away from it. Help us just to be faithful in proclaiming what you've said. Help me, Lord, I pray, to get across these great truths in this chapter. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this portion of Scripture, we're reminded how the Lord Jesus has been dealing much with the unbelieving scribes and unbelieving Pharisees. See, these people, as we approach this chapter, they have just accused the Lord of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In this, they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God and were therefore in danger of eternal damnation. Now, chapter 13 opens by saying, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house, went into a ship, sat down on that ship, and he began to speak to the people on the seashore in parables. Now, the word parable means to cast alongside. It's a story that's cast alongside a spiritual truth to help one understand that particular truth. It's been said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's like a window in a home or in a house that helps people look through that window and see what's on the inside of that shell. Now, in this chapter, we're going to be looking at several parables that the Lord brings out. Today, we're going to talk about the first one of these. And it has to do with the parable of a sower going forth to sow seed, and the seed falls upon four different types of ground. And we're going to focus our attention on this particular parable. There's three major thoughts that come out. The first two I'm just going to mention if I can, and focus in on the third point, because the third point is the major thought of the passage, and that is the type of soil that the seed fell upon. Now, there's three simple things we're going to look at. First of all, the sower. Secondly, the seed. And third, the soils. And the first thing we're going to notice today is the sower himself. Look at verse number 3 and following. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them." Now, in this account, along with the parallel accounts in the book of Mark and Luke, we see the sower is one who took the seed and simply cast it on the ground. Now, friends, back in this day, this was truly hard work that could only be done if the sower put forth the effort to get the seed into the ground. Now get this, the sower's one job was to take the seed and sow it. In other words, there would be no fruit or any possibility of fruit if the sower did not work to get the seed upon the ground. Now it's interesting to note how the age of this sower is not given. And the name of this sower is not given. And we see that young and old alike in this can get involved in taking the seed and spreading it all over the place. Our duty as God's children is not, now get this, our duty is not to sample the soil, but rather to sow the seed. Now let's get up and get busy taking the seed and spreading it around this lost and dying world. Proverbs 1:26, 5 and 6 puts it this way, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So number one, the sower had one duty and one duty only, and that was to take the seed and spread it everywhere he went, give the seed out on the soil. Secondly, let's notice the seed quickly. The seed is brought out in verses 4 and following. "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some seed fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth." On and on it goes. Skip down to verse number 19. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it." Now as we read down through verse number 23, we'll notice that as the Lord Jesus, as he told this story, he brought out that the sower was sowing one thing and one thing only. He was sowing seed. Now the reason he was sowing this seed is because this seed had life in it. This seed had power in it. This seed had potential in it, and the sower knew he could not expect anything from the ground unless he got the seed in that ground. Now, as the Lord explained this parable in verses 19 down to verse 23, he brought out in very clear terms that the seed is the Word of God. We see this because every verse in the explanation has that phrase, the word, the word, the word, the word. Look at it. Verse number 19, "When anyone heareth the word." Verse number 20, "The same is he that heareth the word." Verse number 21, "Ariseth because of the word." Verse 22, "He that heareth the word." Latter phrase, "Choke the word." Verse 23, "Heareth the word." I'm telling you that the book of Luke confirms this by saying the seed is the Word of God. This is the seed that we are to be spreading around this world. Now get this, we are not to be spreading our own ideas. We are not to be spreading our own agendas. We are not to be spreading our own philosophies. We are to be sowing the blessed Word of God. And just as the seed in this story had power in it and had life in it, even so the seed of God's Word is alive and is quick and is powerful and can save any person on planet Earth. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." If you are born again this morning, it's because the living, powerful word of Almighty God was sown in your life and it found good ground. Thank God for His precious word this morning. Let us see, this is what the world needs today. Let us be busy sowing the word of God around this lost and dying world. Our church just sent $1,000 each to two of our faithful missionaries, one by the name of Sam Snyder, who's on the islands of Kiribati. And we sent that $1,000 to him just so he can have Bibles to give to those precious people. We sent $1,000 to Edgar Fagali, one of our faithful missionaries over in the Middle East, and that $1,000 only going to make Bibles available to those precious people. I'm telling you, the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is quick. The Word of God is powerful, and it is seed, and it can germinate if it finds good ground. His name was James Chalmers. He set sail for the Cannibal Islands. He was the idol of Britain at this time. He was called the Great Heart of New Guinea, and Chalmers was a national hero. He devoted 30 years to sowing the gospel seed among these cannibals, often with great success. Over 130 mission stations in New Guinea alone bore witness to the fruitfulness of his labors. And as a result of his ministry, more than 3,000 natives of all ages gathered monthly to break bread in a communion service. Many of them, Chalmers had known as wild man-eaters. They were cannibals, but they had been radiantly transformed by the mighty power of the Word of God. Many of them still bore on their breasts the tattoos that marked those who had achieved manhood by murdering somebody. But now they quietly took their place as regenerated men at the table of the Lord. And what made the difference was the seed of the Word of God. I'm telling you that there are churches around America today, and there are churches around the globe today who believe that the Word of God is not enough to get the job done. That's why they bring entertainment in. That's why they try to look for all these new schemes and so on. May I tell you something, friends? The church will be built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is to be preeminent in the local church. I'm telling you that as long God helping me, unless I'm, honestly, if something happens, you know I've fallen off my rockers, what I'm trying to say. We at Buffalo Ridge want to be faithful, lifting the Word of God up, because the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can save anybody who will submit to it and ask Jesus to come into their heart. Aren't you glad we have a copy of God's Word today? We need to preach it and teach it and spread it around this lost and this dying world. Now, I've been going 110 miles an hour. Let me try to slow down, because we come now to the main thrust of this parable. We've noticed the sower. He had one job: sow the seed. We noticed the seed. It's the Word of God. And that's the only thing we need to sow around the world to get the job done. Number three, let's notice the soil. Now, this is brought out in verses 4 to 8 and then explained in verses 19 to 23. Now, there is no doubt in this parable that the soil is the main thrust of what the Lord Jesus is trying to get across to His hearers. The four different grounds mentioned on which the seed fell are types of the hearts of people who hear the Word of God and the heart they respond with to the blessed Word of God. Now, as we consider these four different soils, I want you to consider yourself and make sure you are not settling for a salvation that is a fraud. The Lord Jesus is absolutely blasting what we call easy believism in this portion. Somebody says, "Oh, I made a profession of faith when I was a child. Hey, I know I'm living like the devil, but I know I'm saved because I prayed a prayer." Not according to what you're getting ready to hear. I hope I've got your attention, because when it comes to your soul, you need to make sure that you're a born-again child of God. I wouldn't risk my salvation for anybody or anything. And I want you today to see yourself standing before God with this passage right here in mind. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? The Lord did not pull any punches here. He did not sugarcoat anything. And I am convinced as I study this passage and as I see different things around the nation, around the world, that there are many people today who have settled for a fraudulent salvation. This message is not to make you doubt. This message is to make sure you've got the real thing. Amen now. Now before we get to these soils, I want to read you something here that the Lord brings out in verses 11 and following. Notice verse 11 and following. In verse number 10, the disciples come and said, why are you speaking to these people in parables? He answers it in verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Therefore speak out of them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. You say, what in the world's all that mean? What's he saying? When you understand what he's saying here, he's preparing them for his explanation. What he's saying is this. We see the disciples asking this question, why are you speaking in parables? And he answers them by telling them that there are those around who harden their hearts to the truth, and he will now withdraw further light. He's saying right here in verse number 15, it gives us the key. He said, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. He's saying they have heard the truth, but they have deliberately closed their eyes to the truth. And the very light that you will be learned from is going to blind them. Spurgeon put it this way. If men will willfully close their eyes, the very light shall blind them. These parables brought light to trusting hearts. Keep in mind who he's been dealing with. He's been dealing with Pharisees. He's been dealing with scribes. He's been dealing with folks who thought they were okay on the outside, but yet they were unconverted on the inside, and he was pumping truth, and yet they didn't want it. Instead of saying, this is God, they said, it's Beelzebub. They were closing their eyes. They didn't want the truth. He was giving them truth after truth after truth after truth. They said, no, 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 and now they can't even understand what he's saying. He's saying right here, he's saying, if you are unwilling to come to me, you will therefore be unable to come to me, because it will make no sense at all to you. He follows this up by saying that their eyes and their ears are blessed because they see and they hear. Here's what he's saying before we get to the soil. It is dangerous to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to the truth of the gospel. It is dangerous. He's saying right here, these people, the reason I'm teaching in parables and it doesn't make any sense to them is because they had light. They rebelled against it. And even though I'm going to share it with you, because you have come to me, you are asking me, you want to know, I'll share it with you. But it's just going to confuse them because they are blind to the truths of the gospel, because they've hardened their heart. They've closed their eyes. They've closed their ears. Do you see what he's doing? Then he begins to talk about the soils. First of all, he said, seed fell on the wayside soil. This is found in verse number 4, the wayside, and then it's explained in verse 19. I'm going to focus on the explanations. Look at verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The first type of soil, again, these soils are types of people's hearts. The heart for which people accept or reject the word of God. This first soil he mentions is the wayside. And he said that as the sower was spreading the seed in verse number 4, some of it fell on this wayside. Now it's been said that in this day there were no fences, and roads many times would pass through the fields where people were sowing. So some seed that the sower is just spreading everywhere, some of that seed that had power to bring forth fruit fell on this hard, uncultivated roads where people would walk on it. Therefore, it could not penetrate the soil, and the birds would come now and take the seed and go off with it. And he's saying, this is how some people's hearts are. It's like a hardened road. It's like an uncultivated heart. And when the word of God falls upon it, they want nothing to do with it. They don't want to hear it. Their heart is hardened. Get it? The soil wasn't prepared to receive the seed, and therefore the birds came to snatch it away. The birds are said to be in this portion and also in the parallel passages. The birds are said to be a type of the devil who comes immediately. In other words, the devil knows that the word of God is alive. The devil knows that the word of God can bring life. But if it finds hard hearts, I don't want it, then as soon as they hear it, it makes no effect and the devil comes and snatches it away. This is the wayside hearer. He's saying that the devil comes to those whose heart is hardened, those who are careless, those who are indifferent to the gospel. This is the person, get it, who doesn't want anything to do with the gospel, but willingly turns a deaf ear and blind eye towards it. They're everywhere, friends. There are people today, they don't want to be saved any more than a dog out on the street. They don't want to hear the gospel any more than a guinea pig in a cage. They have hardened their hearts so much and closed their eyes and deafened their ears so much that the word of God cannot penetrate their heart because they want nothing to do with it. Some of you all might know somebody like that. A man came to hear D.L. Moody. This man was an intellectual highbrow. And during the sermon, he made notes on a piece of paper. And later he said to Mr. Moody, I noticed that you made 38 mistakes in English today. Mr. Moody replied, I'm sure that you're right, but I'm using all the knowledge I have for the glory of God. Are you doing the same? The man had heard, but he hadn't heard, don't you see? The message could have blessed him, but he wasn't looking for a blessing. He was simply looking for something to criticize. Some people treat the gospel just like that. Please, don't let this be a fulfillment of your heart. Don't be a person that you know in your heart you're lost, but you don't want anything to do with it. That's the wayside. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Number one, the wayside soil, hard heart, wanting nothing to do with it. Number two, the stony soil. This is found in verses 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. He explains this in verse 20 and 21. But he that received the seed in the stony place, same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself. Dureth for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Now what is this? This next soil is stony places. It didn't have much earth on top of the hard rock underneath. Therefore, the seed that had life sprung up immediately. It started doing its effect. You see what I'm saying? But because of the lack of depth and there was no roots in the ground. See, the first one had no results. This one has no roots. Stay with me here. Because this plant didn't have any roots, when the sun came up, the sun that helps persecution, which the Lord identifies as persecution, tribulation, that same sun that helps a plant with roots grow, if you're a child of God, withers up somebody that doesn't have roots. And it goes on to say this, because it had no roots, when the sun came up, it scorched it. In other words, get this. The results look like the real thing. But the sun revealed that the plant had no roots to sustain it. The interpretation of this is one who hears the word and at once says, I want it. Yes. But when tribulation and persecution comes because of the word, they get offended. This is a picture of the heart of somebody who claims to be interested in it, but never changed by it. One who receives the word but leaves it by and by because everything on the surface looks right, but underneath it's unreal. It's a fraud. One who seems to receive the truth, but there's no real change of the heart. One that from the outside looks real, looks real, looks real, but there's no real depth. One who makes a profession without ever possessing the Lord Jesus. Somebody put it this way, you can't tell how much gas is in the tank by how loud the horn honks. And there are a lot of people who hear the word of God. Oh, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to pray a prayer. And then they start blowing their horn. Blow, 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 blow. And then before long, 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 days, you can't find them anywhere. Stony ground. Ground that they hear it. I want it. But I'm not going to let it change my life. I want what you're saying, but I don't want what it's going to do to me. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, and listen, I don't know anybody else that can explain it better than this. I stood on the rear end of a train years ago going through Kansas. Someone had thrown a paper onto the railroad tracks. As our train sped past, the paper fluttered up in the air, went in every direction. As soon as the train had gone by, the paper settled down on the track and was soon dead still. As I look way back at that paper lying there, I thought, this is J. Vernon McGee speaking, that is just like a lot of so-called Christians. When there's a sensational meeting in progress, they really get enthusiastic, but they have no real relationship with Christ. It's just an emotional high. They are the rocky ground folk. Don't just settle for a profession, friends. Make sure you possess Jesus Christ. Hosea 10:12 said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on you. Number one, the wayside, they're careless about it. No results. Number two, the stony soil, they're enthusiastic about it. They're interested, but they don't ever come to the point where they accept it. It's just an emotional high. They have no roots. Third soil is the thorny soil. This is found in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. This is explained in verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This third piece of soil is what we call the thorny soil. These thorns came up and choked the seed spread upon that ground. This is said to be one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The parallel account in Matthew adds the lust of other things along with the deceitfulness of riches and cares of this world. It adds lust of other things. Luke's account adds the pleasures of this life. In all of this, we see this person has the problems, prosperities, and pleasures of life that choke the word's effect on their heart. Now stay with me here. While there is debate among good, godly people as to what this ground is, some people try to teach that this ground is a picture of a born-again child of God who's backslidden. I do not believe that's what the Lord is teaching. That's up to you. But I honestly believe that the Lord has revealed to me a truth that a lot of churches, even Baptist churches, have failed to preach when it comes to salvation. I personally believe that what this is a type of a person who never comes to the point of giving up everything for Jesus Christ. This seems to be a type of a person who has a divided heart, wanting both worlds at the same time. In other words, this is one who commits outwardly without repenting of sin. It is one who may want to be saved, but's not willing to break with the world. They have a crowded heart. It's a picture of one wanting the benefits of the gospel. I want heaven, but they're still clinging to this life. This is one who's trying to receive Christ without repenting of their sin. The Bible does not say repent to believe. It says repent and believe the gospel. Somebody says, I want Jesus, but I don't want to change my life. I want Jesus, but I want to keep that. I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want to have peace, but I'm not willing to give that up. Not saved. That is not Bible salvation. You cannot come to God with a divided heart and say, I want you at the same time I want the world. You will never get Jesus Christ that way. This is what I believe the thorny soil is. Spurgeon put it this way. The leaf of outward religiousness is there, but there's no dew on it. The ear of promised fruit is there, but there are no kernels in it. A.W. Tozier put it this way, a whole generation of Christians has come up believing that it is possible to accept Christ without forsaking the world. And I'm telling you, this is the point I personally believe the Lord Jesus is making here with this type of soil. See, the first type, the wayside, had no results. The second type, the stony, had no roots. The third type, the thorns, had no repentance. They want Jesus, but they want the world at the same time. This is a picture of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Remember the story? Good master, what must I do to be saved, to inherit eternal life? The Lord, he started giving him, you know, the commandments. He said, all these I've kept from my youth up. I have a hard time believing that. And the Lord said, one thing you lack. Sell all you have and go give it to the poor. And the Bible says that man left sorrowful. And the Lord turned and said, how hard is it, I'm paraphrasing, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? What was the Lord teaching that rich young ruler? That you have to sell everything you have to earn salvation? No. He's teaching that rich young ruler, do I have your full heart? Do you want me and me only, or do you want me plus your riches back there? What else is he teaching, friends? We know he's not teaching work salvation. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore that will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. 1 John 2:15-17 teaches the same thing. Mark 1:15, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye. That means turn. Have a change of heart. Turn. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You can't, here's what he's teaching, you cannot have both worlds. You must choose. Please don't settle for this temporary world, but choose the eternal world with God forever. Number one, the wayside, no results. Number two, the stony ground, no roots. Number three, the thorny ground, no repentance. And number four, we see the good soil, and there you have no regrets. We see this in verse number 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. It's explained in verse 23. And he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This last soil is the good ground upon which the seed was sown. It said that this ground brought forth fruit. The Lord identifies this soil as those who hear the word, understand it, and in the parallel accounts, receives it and keeps it from an honest heart and a good heart. Notice these grounds were not all equally fruitful, but they were all fruitful. Did you hear what I just said? They weren't equally fruitful, but they all bore fruit. This soil is a picture of the heart of somebody who has heard the gospel. And instead of having a hard heart and a thorny heart and a stony heart, they really want to be saved. They don't want their sin. They realize that Jesus is the only way. So God gives them an understanding. You see what I'm saying? And they receive it. These are those who have truly repented of their sin, and they've received the Lord. By the way, a true born-again child of God will manifest itself in bearing some kind of spiritual fruit. All born-again children of God will have spiritual fruit. Fruit is the test of true Bible salvation. Matthew 7:16, Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits. The book of James puts it this way. I'm about done. Look here. I'm right there. I've just got down to there. There I am. Stay with me. James chapter 2, verses 20 and 26 puts it this way. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If that confuses you, go back and get my message on that, because it's a powerful thought. He's not saying that works bring salvation. He's saying salvation brings works. He's not saying works brings faith. He's saying true Bible faith will produce works. It's saying true salvation will work in some form or another. You show me somebody that says, I got saved, I asked Jesus into my heart, but there's no evidence, there's no fruit, there's nothing like that. They are settling for a fraudulent salvation, because Jesus is life, and life manifests itself, some 30, some 60, some 100, but all something, whether it be 30, 60, or 100. The conclusion to this, my friend, is I'm telling you, don't settle for just a profession of faith. Put your life to the test. Do what the Bible says. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. I'm not saying that you look at your life and check that off and say, oh yes, that means I'm saved. No, but in your heart right now, do you have assurance that you are good ground? Do you have assurance that there was a time in your life when God gave you light, and you, by faith, you weren't trying to hold on to both worlds. You weren't trying to have a hard heart, people stomping on it and knocking it down. Your heart was open. Your heart was tender. You didn't have stony places. It's not just an emotional high. Oh, this just feels so good. Let me just go and thank Jesus for this. I feel so good about it. Who cares how you feel about it? Do you know that you have roots in the ground, and are you settling for a fraudulent salvation? Make sure that you are good ground. Make sure that you have trusted Christ. Make sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are going to heaven when you die. Jesus is teaching this. And we see the Lord showing a sower going and sowing the seed on four different soils that picture the hearts of men. We must understand, in order to have a potential crop, we have to sow the seed. The main thought of the passage, again, seems to be the Lord encouraging these listeners to examine their own heart, to make sure that they are not settling for something that's not real. He's absolutely refuting easy believism in this passage. He's absolutely refusing and refuting just a little profession without a possession. He's saying there are hard-hearted hearers that show no results. There are shallow-hearted hearers that have no roots. There are half-hearted hearers that have no repentance. But then there are whole-hearted hearers that have no regrets. Please, as pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, please consider yourself and make sure that heaven is your home. Don't settle for something that's not real. And if you say, I have no fruit, I don't even know what you're talking about, can I say that there was a day when I was just like that? God gave my heart the light of the gospel. And around a nine-year-old boy, I called out to Jesus sincerely from my heart. And may I say that when I look back on my life, it's not that I'm the pastor of Buffalo Ridge that I'm excited about. It's not that I've got a beautiful wife, precious kids that I'm excited about. I'm thrilled about those things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'll tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited that I know God and God knows me. And He has manifest Himself with just a little bit of fruit every now and then. How about you? He said, hear ye the parable of the sower. And He says in verse number 9 as we close, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Help us now. May the will of God be done. Help us, Lord, to sincerely see this, understand it. And I pray for somebody today who may be doubting their salvation. Lord, I've tried not to preach in such a way that it causes doubt. This should be an assuring message to true children of God. Your Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Thank You for that. Help us, I pray. As they begin to play through softly, I'm going to come down here on the floor. I have just a couple of questions for you. One to those who are unbelievers. One to those who are believers. First of all, those who are lost. Or maybe those who have prayed a prayer sometime in their life and they point back to it, but it's not really changed their life. It's not really changed their heart. It's potentially stony ground or thorny ground. Hey, there's nothing wrong today, friends, if you have a doubt in your heart to come get it settled. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. Matter of fact, I encourage you to do that. Is there one today, say, Jody, I'm concerned in my own heart that I am either the wayside, I am either the stony soil, or I'm the thorny soil. And you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I don't want to settle for something that may be a fraud. Maybe you're doubting. That's not what I was trying to do. Please, I hope you understand that. But maybe you're doubting your salvation, or maybe you've come in this auditorium and you know you're lost. You know you're lost. You know you're not good ground. But you have a desire to be. Is there one today? Say, Jody, pray for me. Pray that the seed will find good soil and that I will not settle to be thorny or stony or wayside. Is God speaking to you today? If you're here today and you say, pray for me, I need to make sure of this. This is serious, friends. This could mean the difference between heaven and hell for you. You say, pray for me, I need to make sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that quietly right there at your seat? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I need to make sure. I don't want to settle for something that's a fraud. Anybody along with this one, would you raise your hand in the air? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come. It could be you're just doubting. But listen, there's nothing wrong with making sure. And you know I'm telling you the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. It could just be doubts. And if it is, come get it settled. Don't doubt anymore. You understand what I'm doing? I invite you to bring your mate with you in just a moment. They'll help you. Here's my second question, and then we'll stand and sing here in just a moment. If you are saved and you know that your heart is good ground, are you sowing seed? Simple, I know. But are you sowing seed? What's the seed? Well, I'm singing in the choir. I'm sowing seed. Well, unless the Word of God, which is in a lot of the songs, sure. Unless you're singing Scripture, that's not sowing seed. The seed is not false. The seed is not prayers. The seed is the Word of God. Are you giving the Word of God to people? That's what I'm asking. Are you sowing seed? By the way, are we supposed to test the soil before we sow it? No. We're just to sow it and pray it finds good ground. Why don't you come and ask God to help us to sow seed more than we ever have before? Father, take this thought. Bless it. Bless the one who's dealing with this. Bless others who need to sow more seed. I need to sow more seed. Help this church to sow more seed and teach us the truths of this precious parable. Guide our thoughts now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please, all over this congregation. If you raised your hand just wanting to make sure that you're good ground, come. If you want to come and say, God, help me to sow seed more, you come. As Brother Gary sings, come now. Would you do that?
Ask me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. All on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me. Thank you. trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
What I want to do is ask you to do me a favor. When we're dealing with people at the altar, that's a very precious time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. As soon as I pray, I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind just to quietly leave, because we're dealing with people here about some serious, serious things in salvation. We want to give them time. You understand what I'm doing? I don't want them feeling pressure. The workers and so on, you take your time, okay? Father, bless us now. Bless the visitors that are with us. Help them as they give their visitors card out at the Welcome Center to be met with a greeting hand, I pray. Bless these who have come. In Jesus' name, amen. If you wouldn't mind, quietly as you can, thank you. Thank you for doing that. We'll see you tonight. God bless you. Have a great day.